is with us.
Well, good morning. My name is Nathan. I am one of the teaching pastors here at Shelter Rock Church. It's a pleasure to be with you today. For the past few weeks, we've been looking at Emmanuel. That is God with us. Jesus just is God with us and God for us. We've learned that he's a wonderful counselor, someone who's able to give direction to our lives. He's a mighty God, a powerful warrior, able to defend us against whatever seeks to harm us. And he's an everlasting father. That is that Jesus always and forever is fatherly. But if that's not enough, he's even more. He's the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the bringer of peace, of shalom. And he is God incarnate, peace incarnate, God with us, peace with us. But if that's true, why is it that I feel riddled with anxiety? I mean, to tell the truth, I've been feeling like this for the past week or so, maybe longer, and I actually feel like I am the last person that should be preaching this sermon today on peace. To be transparent, lately I feel like I'm surrounded by darkness and groping for help, and I have the feeling that, well, I'm not the only one. I mean, where is the light of the world? Where is the Prince of Peace? Why is the world so screwed up? Several days ago, I got a call from my sister, and she told me about a terrifying incident that happened with her son, Gadon, like the tribe of Gad. He's got an unusual name. This is my nephew, and she said that it was about 3 a.m. that one of her daughters, which is Gadon's younger sister, she needed to use the bathroom, so it was 3 a.m. She gets up, and Gadon seems to be in the bathroom taking a shower. And she's knocking on the door. You know, Gadon, I need to get in there. She hears a thud. She thought maybe he knocked over some shampoo bottles or something, but she kept knocking on the door, and no one answered. Finally, she gets someone. She said, can you go in there and check and see what's going on? The guy goes in there, pulls back the curtain, Gadon's unconscious in the bathtub. In fact, it doesn't look like he's breathing. They know that it's probably an overdose. He has a drug problem. He had taken fentanyl. He didn't seem to be breathing. They keep Narcan in the house. By the way, you should keep Narcan in your car in the house. This is an epidemic. They give him the first dose, he doesn't respond. They give him the second dose, he's still not responding. They live way out in the middle of nowhere. They call the ambulance. It's going to take a while to get there. The ambulance arrives, gives him two more doses, and finally he comes to. And I feel helpless. I feel like I can't do anything. And I'm so far away. They live in Indiana, but my sister lives this every day. In fact, Gadon had lost his friend almost 1 year ago to the day to an overdose. The previous year. He's got two sisters that had to be Narcan back. This is his second or third time, and I feel riddled with anxiety. So why are so many stuck in darkness? I mean, why are so many lives filled with pain rather than peace? Substance abuse, health problems, fractured families, marital dysfunction, terrorism, war, socio-political discord, traffic, lost jobs, financial pressure, work overload, school stress, unrealistic expectations. I mean, and the holidays only seem to amplify the problem, the anxiety, because we want things to be perfect, don't we? I mean, even when the hostile relatives are gathered around our table, we want it to go right. And if you think I'm painting a bleak picture, well, Merry Christmas. I mean, isn't there any consolation in all this chaos? Any solution to this and sad state of affairs? Any light to dispel the darkness? Well, there is. God offers a solution in his word. If you open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to pick up with verse 1. This has been our anchor verse throughout the series. Verses. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but starting with verse 1, it says this: "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in dark distress. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." Let's pray. Father, I ask one more time that your spirit be here. I know you're here. But in a special way, to open eyes and ears and hearts so that people might perceive and receive your peace, your shalom. Lord, that lives can be transformed, that darkness can be dispelled, that wholeness can come to where there's brokenness. I ask this, we ask this, in the name of your Son, the Prince of Peace, Jesus. Amen. So God's word declares that a Prince of Peace will usher in an unending state of peace. He will be a light dawning in the darkness and dispelling it. Matthew picks up on Isaiah's Emmanuel language in Isaiah 7 and declares that Jesus just is the superlative example of the person that Isaiah is describing there, and in chapter 9. Jesus is the ultimate expression of the expression Emmanuel, God with us. Take a look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 through 23. Describing the birth of Jesus, Matthew says this: "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Jesus is God's singular answer to the problem of chaos, darkness, and despair. He's God's answer to a fractured, disjointed world. And the world really seems that is broken, fractured, and out of joint. Can anyone relate to that? Things are not operating as God intended, so God took on human flesh to dwell among us so that he could make the world whole again. And the world is desperate for this wholeness, for this peace. Do you know what the most searched Bible verse is of 2019? Can you guess? Any thoughts? It's actually Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." People are crying out to Google and God for an answer to this anxiety. And you see, God has provided an answer for the anxiety. One answer to it. The Bible declares that Jesus doesn't just bring peace, he is our peace. The scripture says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." Jesus, that is Emmanuel, is our peace. He heals the division between different groups of people. He destroys the hostility that divides people and fractures society. And he's able to do this in ways and on a scale, well, that seem impossible, even in the midst of war. You know, World War I was one of the deadliest in history, and it claimed over 15 million lives over the course of just 4 years. This was a time of intense hostility, excessive destruction. The extreme carnage that was everywhere was just unfathomable. However, in the midst of all this turmoil, about 105 years ago, there was a moment of tranquility. On December 24th, 1914, that's Christmas Eve, many German and British troops began to sing Christmas carols to each other across enemy lines. The trenches were close to each other, maybe 100 yards away, so you could easily hear the songs being sang. The next morning on Christmas Day, 1914, the German soldiers emerged from the trenches and walked into no man's land. You know that spot where you can get shot up really easily? And they started calling out "Merry Christmas" in English. At first, the Allied soldiers thought this was a trick. However, seeing that the Germans were completely unarmed, They realized that there was something else going on that day. Take a look at this video to see what happened next.
Jenkins, Oakley.
Knight.
My name is Jim.
My name is Otto.
Pleased to meet you, Otto.
Freut mich.
Rose, she's calm.
I'm schön.
Thousands of British and German troops put down their rifles and stepped out of the trenches to spend Christmas Day together. They shared food and conversations, gifts, and even played a good-natured round of soccer. One German lieutenant recalled, "Christmas, the celebration of love, managed to bring mortal enemies together as friends for a time." But celebrating a holiday often brings only fleeting peace, whether it's in-laws around your dinner table or a battlefield, which may be one and the same for some. It's not an easy time. It's not a permanent situation. Sin is the source of human hostility, but Jesus is the source of human healing. And peace is a whole lot more than the absence of hostility. In fact, it'd be a good idea to kind of tease out what exactly is meant by the term peace. See, Jesus and the Jews of his day would have used the term shalom for peace. But English offers no good equivalent to match the richness of the meaning of the word shalom. You see, shalom is both a journey and a destination. If you look at this graphic closely, I want you to think about what's being said here, what shalom means. I mean, it is completeness, it's wholeness, it's peace, it's harmony, it's salvation, it's tranquility, it's friendship, it's safety, it's security, it's well-being, it's health, it's freedom, it's prosperity. I mean, these would have been the first and the last words a Jew would have said to another Jew when they enter the home or leave the home. It was a pronouncement of blessing. And I want you to look at every aspect of this definition and say to yourself, what is it that I need from this definition, from this shalom? What, do you need any parts of this? I do. Wholeness. And every time you see or hear the word peace in this sermon and from here on out, I want you to think of the word shalom. There's a lot more going on here than just peace, the absence of hostility. See, God's ultimate goal for the world, for humanity, for you and me, is shalom. I mean, he wants us to be whole, the whole world whole. But you see, it also means that if his goal is shalom, the process has to be shalom. Shalom is the process, the journey to wholeness. And this process isn't always perfect. In fact, sometimes it's downright messy, especially when you're surrounded by so much chaos and darkness. I mean, during the process, peace sometimes feels like, well, it's slowly disintegrating. Things start to get bent out of shape and rough around the edges. Has anyone ever been there? And then they devolve into what feels like shattered pieces. The truth is, peace falls to pieces. Has anyone ever been there? I mean, what do you do when peace falls to pieces, is shattered? Maybe you're here today and the journey towards shalom feels long and you're desperate for healing, for wholeness. You're desperate for an answer to the chaos and the darkness that seems to engulf your life. You're groping in the dark for an answer, trying to put the pieces of your life back together. They're like shattered shards that you walk on and you're bleeding. Because the journey's long and it's rough. See, the first thing we have to do is realize that without Jesus, there can be no peace. Not with God, not with other people, and not within ourselves. No Jesus, no peace. I mean, this is an impossible problem. Where there's no Jesus, there's no peace. There's no salvation. There's no security. No Jesus, no peace. This is why God sent Jesus, the Prince of Peace, into the world. The scripture declares this, "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure," a great way to live. "For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of" what? Peace, of shalom. Peace was born in a Bethlehem manger, a feeding trough 2,000 years ago. Jesus came to heal the fractured relationships between humans and God and between people and other people and even the internal disharmony that we ourselves face. He came to bring security and salvation. Jesus is the one of peace. He's the one of shalom. Without him, there is no peace. So to experience peace, to experience shalom, wholeness, salvation, security, full-orbed well-being, you must experience Jesus. There's no shortcut. And see, it's not enough to just know about Jesus. You have to know Jesus. See, almost everyone in the U.S. knows about Jesus. I mean, especially this time of the year, we sing about him. He's the most famous person that has ever lived. But you see, that's not the same as knowing Jesus, knowing him intimately, experiencing him. You see, you have to know Jesus to know peace. The Hebrew concept of to know, of knowing, yada, is a whole lot different than just head knowledge, knowing a fact or something. It's dynamic, it's experiential, relational knowledge that comes from encountering God and responding to God with our whole person. It's more than mental assent or head knowledge. And until you know the Prince of Peace, you cannot experience the full benefits of the shalom that Jesus brings. Until he rules and reigns in your hearts and minds, you can't really know peace. If you want to know peace, you must know Jesus. He's more than a story that people sing about one time a year. He is the answer to the problem of sin and chaos in the world. The other night, I was out delivering poinsettias. Some of you got them, and they don't look as nice as they should. That's my fault. It'd been a rough week. Aside from all the family things going on, which is just overwhelming, it was the end of my semester. I was feeling the pressure of deadlines. I was sick that week. School stress, ministry pressure. I'd been in a couple of staff meetings, and one of them just felt heavy. I drive here, pick up the poinsettias, head toward Queens. I'm delivering them, and as I was going to Pastor Jim's house, I'm driving along, and I see what looks like water on the road. Turns out it was a pothole filled with water. I hit the pothole. My front tire bursts. It was not a good night. I'm in Queens. I don't know where I am. It's about 6:30 this happened. 6:45 on the app of my insurance company to try to get roadside assistance. By the way, very poorly coded. Horrible situation there. Finally had to call them. So about around 7-ish, maybe 7-ish, I got somebody. By 7:05, they said, hey, and this is their term, help is on the way, they tell me. And they say, it'll be maybe 90 minutes. So in fact, the app even tells you, they'll be there by 9:05. I'm thinking, wow, that's, over 2 hours, but okay. So I'm waiting. But as I'm waiting there, I don't feel shalom. I don't feel peace. In fact, I'm in a place where I shouldn't be parked. And guess what time the tow truck arrives? I'm going to have my car towed to Costco. What time do you think? 11:30. So essentially a five-hour wait. So it's just been a long week. And the truth is, it's my grandmother's birthday, who raised me. It seems like these things happen every year on her birthday. I felt helpless. I felt defeated. You ever feel that way? That everything that can go wrong does go wrong? You remember that verse that says that, the most quoted one of the year that says, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything, tell God what you need, and thank him for all he's done for you? Well, there's another part to that verse. Verse 7, it says this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In the midst of all the trying things going on that night, stuck in Flushing, a friend of mine came. I called a couple people. She came, and she brought me food, gourmet food, no less. She stayed with me in the car. It was 34 degrees out that night. And she encouraged me to worship God. She said, let's put on some music and let's sing some worship songs. Now, how many know I did not feel like worshiping God? But we sang nonetheless. And to tell you the truth, it did help to lift things. There was a little bit of light flickering in the darkness. See, God's shalom will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus. But it is in Jesus. And the question becomes, are you in him? You have to know him if you want to experience the world the way that God intended. You must be in Christ. See, originally, God built a beautiful, peaceful garden, a place for his temple and his people, even more beautiful than the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris. It was beautiful. And it was God wanted for us to be his temple, for the whole world to be his temple. And his tent was shalom, for the whole world to be his temple. But sin set the world on fire, destroying everything. Not unlike earlier this year, when this cathedral in Notre Dame was almost destroyed. See, shalom was undone in the Garden of Eden. This beautiful attempt at a place of shalom, a temple, had been undone. Wholeness was gone. Peace fell to pieces. And to make matters worse, Jesus hadn't arrived yet. There was no Jesus, so there was no peace, no shalom. But God sends his unique Son into the world, and Jesus becomes our peace and our shalom. And he begins the process of reconciling, renovating, and restoring the broken relationships that we have with him, with other people, with the whole world. He begins the process of rebuilding the world. Jesus, the only whole one in all of humanity, gives himself to be broken so that humanity can be made whole. You see, the way that broken people get whole is the whole one was broken. He is our shalom, who hung on a cross, gave his life, broken so that we can be made whole. But remember, shalom is both a journey and a destination. The journey involves us. I mean, we're ambassadors of his good news, carriers of shalom. You're carrying shalom with you if you know Jesus now. You see, we have to learn to worship him when times are trouble. I didn't want to worship him that night in the car. I was so distracted. All these things going on in my mind. And we need to be willing to share our resources. There are poor people all around. I have a car. And we need to be able to reach out to people who are addicted to drugs. This isn't just me, my family. Do you know the number of people that stay up at night wondering if this could be the dose that kills my loved one? The anxiety that comes with that? See, the world is still under construction, reconstruction. I mean, the scaffolding makes things look pretty ugly at times, but it's a part of the journey. It's not the destination. Revelation chapter 21 declares that there is a day coming when we will hear a loud voice from God's throne saying this: look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, including my sisters. There will be no more death or mourning or crying. There will be no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne, that is Jesus, the Prince of Peace, said, I am making everything new. You see, the Prince of Peace came the first time to die on a cross, to be broken so that we can be made whole. But that Prince of Peace comes back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to restore the world to the way it is. It's scaffolding around now, but what it will look like will be beyond anything that we can imagine. When that scaffolding gets pulled away and we see and behold complete shalom, the restoration of all things, every tear wiped, it's going to be beyond anything we can imagine. But in the meantime, we're called to participate in the process of shalom. The scripture says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, announcing peace or shalom, proclaiming good tidings, proclaiming salvation, who say to God's people, Zion, your God reigns. The person, that is you and me, the persons that share this good news of shalom, their feet are beautiful as they carry out the message on the mountains, in the valleys. It doesn't matter where it is. How beautiful are those who participate in shalom, sharing the good news of shalom. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, you can know peace. See, if Jesus hadn't come, the world would have burned down completely already. Been done. Chaos would have consumed the cosmos. But he did come. He came to bring shalom by being our shalom. Shalom is centered in Jesus, and it's God's will for the whole world. It's not. He's not just God for us. He's God for us and them. The whole world. Shalom is both a present process and a future promise. The peace that Jesus will ultimately bring in his second coming will last forever. It won't be transient like this. It won't be like a war put on pause. It's going to be done. No one will study war anymore. And all things will be made new. Every tear will be wiped. But you see, you can only experience it forever if you know him. I mean, shalom is relational. It requires dependence on God and interdependence on one another, his people. Perhaps you're here today and you know about Jesus, but you don't know Jesus. You're overwhelmed with stress and sickness and anxiety and chaos. And here's the thing, even if you know Jesus, you might be facing that. You need someone to rescue you, to save you. Well, good news. The Prince of Peace is here to save you, to restore you, to reconcile you to God, to bring shalom to your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you for his body broken, given for us, so that we who are broken can be made whole. Lord, I pray right now for every person here, Lord, if they don't know you, I pray by your Spirit you introduce yourself. Lord, that you would come to live in their hearts, that your peace would reign in their hearts, God. And for those who do know you and are like me, they feel like they're groping in the dark, that they're surrounded by chaos, that they're overwhelmed, that they're riddled with anxiety, God, this moment, this day, right now, God, I speak your peace, your shalom. I pray, Prince of Peace, reign and rule in the hearts of your people. God, set people free from drug addiction. Mend fractured families and relationships, God. Help us to trust you, to worship you, to give you the praise that you're due. I have a car. I have friends. I have food. You're good to me. Thank you. Let your shalom reign in this place, I pray. In your Son's name, amen.